Matthew chapter 6. The reason I'm sitting down is that I have several scriptures to read, and I want us to try to remember them and see the connection between them, because the message today is a consideration of birds and flowers and the hair of the head. A consideration of birds and flowers and the hair of the head. I introduced the subject last week, and I want us to look at it in a twofold way this week. So the first of several passages in Matthew chapter 6, our Savior says to behold, and the word is to look at with intelligence and consideration, to think it through, and also to consider. So this is a consideration of birds and flowers and the hair of the head. So first of all, look at verse 26. And a fowl is a flying creature. At times it's translated fowls, at times birds. So we're going to read it this way. Matthew 6, starting at verse 26. Behold, the birds of the heaven, that they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye of much more value than they? Verse 28. And why are you anxious concerning raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And so our Savior mentions birds and flowers to behold and to consider. And now turn to chapter 10. And look at verse 28. And be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them shall fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now we've considered birds and flowers and the hairs of the head. Now let's look at them as we see them in the Old Testament. Birds. Turn to Leviticus chapter 1. And while you're there, I will read you another reference for the sake of time. It is found in the Psalms, and it says this, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. And let me read you another portion in the Psalms. It says this, I am become like a sparrow that is alone upon the housetop. Now, in Leviticus 1, let's read in detail about some birds. Verse 3, if his oblation be a burnt offering, Now you have the burnt offering of the herd and of the flock. And now in verse 14, and if his oblation to the Lord be a burnt offering of birds, then he shall offer his oblation of turtle doves or of young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it unto the altar and wring off its head and burn it on the altar. And the blood thereof shall be drained out on the side of the altar. And he shall take away its craw and feathers and cast them beside the altar on the east part in the place of the ashes. And you shall rend it by the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt offering, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now, turn to Exodus 25. I will read you another portion. It says this in the Song of Solomon, I am the rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. As a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Now, this portion in Exodus 25, look at verse 31. The word candlestick is really lampstand. It's a stand that has containers, and we'll see what they are. Verse 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick, a lampstand of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, even its base and its shaft, its cups, its buds, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. And there shall be six branches going out of the sides thereof, three branches of the candlestick out of the one side thereof, and three branches of the candlestick or the lampstand out of the other side thereof. Three cups made like almond blossoms. In one branch, a bud and a flower, and three cups made like almond blossoms. In the other branch, a bud and a flower. So for the six branches going out of the lampstand, and in the lampstand, four cups made like almond blossoms, the buds thereof and the flowers thereof, and a bud under two branches, and of one piece with it, a bud under two branches, of one piece with it, a bud under two branches, of one piece with it, for the six branches going out of the lampstands. Verse 37. And thou shalt make the lamps thereof seven. And they shall light the lamps thereof to give light over against it. And the snuffers thereof and the snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall it be made with all the vessels. And see thou make them after the pattern which has been showed thee in the mouth. Now, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the passages of Scripture that we've read. Let us know how elementary they are, and yet how profound they are. We pray that by your Spirit we shall be able to consider them intelligently, and see the lessons contained in them, our God, that your Spirit would have us to learn. We're thankful that we're here today, that the Word of God has been read, and by your grace it shall be explained. So undertake for us, we pray, as we commit all into thy hands, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When I spoke to you on this last week, I did it in a way that would bring a blessing to your soul. I read the verses today, and if you listen to them, you will see how they could be a blessing and at the same time of a different nature when they refer to somebody else. So think, when the Lord Jesus is talking to us, he says, consider the birds of the heaven. They sow not, they reap not, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father takes care of them. Think of that. So when you think of birds, when you consider them, you think of God and the birds of the heaven, and then I read one specific bird. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, for a penny, and not one of them shall fall without your Father? You say, that's lovely. So when I think of birds, I think how God takes care of them, and how not one of them falls to the ground without the consent of the Father. And so that's very comforting. And I read you about flowers. The Savior said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that your Father who is in heaven is the one that clothes them, that makes them beautiful. And he says, not even Solomon in all his glory was like one of these. And so you think of the beautiful flowers and you say, my Father is the one that made those flowers beautiful. And if he's going to take care of the flowers, he's going to take care of me. And then I told you about the hair on the head. The Lord Jesus refers to it again and again. And he says this. He says, the hairs of your head are all numbered. What does that mean? It means that God knows every tiny thing about you. And what brother remembers how many hairs you've got on your head? Very good. If you're light complexion. But the trichologists, those that know all about hair, say that those with darker complexions have lesser. And so if you have 100,000 hairs or 140,000 hairs, God knows how many hairs you have. And he says, not one of them falls to the ground without the consent of your Father. You say, well, that's remarkable. When I consider birds, he takes care of the birds. And the Savior said, your Heavenly Father takes care of them. Well, if it takes care of birds, I'm of more value than birds. He's going to take care of me. You say, how comforting. And you think of flowers, how beautiful they are. And your Heavenly Father clothed those flowers. Well, if he clothed the flowers, he's going to clothe me. You say, yes. And the hairs of your head, why, if they're all numbered and not one falls off my head without my Father's consent, why, I'm in the care of God, I'm in His hand, and a consideration of these things gives comfort and hope and assurance to my soul. And that's right. But now, I read you elsewhere in the Word of God about birds. And it says in the Psalms about one that is a sparrow alone upon the housetop. I read you in Leviticus 1 about turtle doves or pigeons, and those birds are taken as sacrifices. And when they are brought to the priest takes that bird and snaps off its neck and throws it in the fire. Do you like to think of that? Takes all the feathers and plucks them off. Takes the craw and casts it down. You say, well, that's not a pleasant thing to think about. No. And I read to you about a flower. What we forget is this. When we look outside, we see flowers growing out of the ground. But every spring, we see apple blossoms and pear blossoms and cherry blossoms. And they are flowers. And they are flowers that appear and then fruit comes. And it mentions in Exodus 25 that one of the articles of furniture in the tabernacle was to be made like a flower. And then it mentions the hair of the head also in Psalms. And someone there says, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Now, when you consider birds, which way are you going to consider them? Are you going to consider them in relation to you or in relation to somebody else? When you consider flowers, are you going to consider them in relation to you or somebody else? And when you consider the hairs of your head, are you going to consider them in relation to you or somebody else? This is the lesson that has such force that the very things that Christ uses as illustrations concerning us give comfort and hope and assurance. And every consideration of the same things, when they refer to Christ, speak of death and suffering and degradation and humiliation. Now think of that. What is more beautiful than a flower? And the Lord Jesus is the flower. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the lily of the valleys. He is the flower of the almond tree. And so you say, yes, they're beautiful flowers. But it says in Isaiah 53, when we see him, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. Is this not a sad thing? That the most beautiful thing that God ever made, the Lord Jesus Christ, was looked upon by man. And the Bible says, when they see him, there is no beauty in him that they should desire him. So think of us. We are to look at a flower, whether it be a rose or a lily or a cherry flower or an apple or a pear flower. We look at them and they are beautiful and they are fragrant. And yet the Lord Jesus is God's most beautiful flower. And yet it says when we consider him, when we look upon him, when we see him, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. How remarkable. And so the same creations of God, when they are considered as to us, they mean one thing that is good. And when we consider them as they refer to Christ, they bring sadness to the heart. Why? Because the Lord Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And it says concerning us that our hearts are to be filled with hope, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth understanding shall comfort your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so God's creation, when we look at it, is to mean one thing to us. But when we think of that same creation, the identical things, and they refer to Christ, they bring sadness and sorrow and a mystery as to how these things can mean two different things when they refer to us and when they refer to Christ. Isn't it remarkable? And the psalm that I read to you from about the sparrow was a messianic psalm. And so who do you think that lonely sparrow on the housetop refers to? I remember Brother Luther Wilson years ago, he said, I remember that sparrow on the housetop. He said, I used to have a bean shooter, and when I'd see a sparrow on the housetop, I would take that bean shooter and I would try to knock him off that housetop. And think of the Lord Jesus, his loneliness, his rejection, because the Lord Jesus said this, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had 12 apostles, and one of them sold into 30 pieces of silver, and the other 11 forsook him and fled. And the Lord Jesus was the lone sparrow upon the housetop. He was abandoned. But the saddest thing is this. The Lord Jesus said, you're all going to abandon me. He said, but my Father is with me. And yet in Psalm 22, the Lord Jesus cried out and asked his God why he had forsaken him. So here is the Lord Jesus. And when we consider Christ as a bird, he is one that is upon the housetop, alone, who is hated of man, who man desires to put to death. That's what Christ thought of when he thought of a sparrow, when he thought of a bird. And another thing that Christ would think of when he thought of a bird was that he was the sacrifice. They have two specific birds that were used for sacrifices, the turtle dove and the young pigeon, and they are beautiful birds. And so many beautiful things are spoken of about the turtle dove, mourns like a dove, harmless as a dove. And so when we think of that dove, that bird, we think of Christ in his sorrow, because he is a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And indeed, he did mourn. When Lazarus was sick and died, the Lord Jesus shed tears. The Lord Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. But the saddest thing was this. When a bird of the heaven, now think, grasp this. The Lord Jesus was a bird of the heaven. Who is he that came down from heaven to dwell on earth? Who was the heavenly one that came down to earth? You say the Lord Jesus. And so when you have a bird of the heaven, the perfect illustration is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the heavenly bird. And if you look at the feathers upon birds, two are mentioned, a turtle dove and a young pigeon. They are not brilliant like some, but I've seen some feathers of birds that are magnificent. But evidently they are not used because there was not that pride in Christ. His beauty was a concealed beauty like that of a pigeon or a dove. And yet what happens is this. All the beauty that was associated with him was plucked off and cast by the altar with the crawl and with the filth. And that's what happened to the beauty of Christ. All his beauty was marred. All his beauty was unseen. And yet the Lord Jesus was quite satisfied to be that sparrow that was alone, to be that bird that was a sacrifice. To think his head was wrung off and cast into the fire. And a head is that which speaks of authority. And here is the authority of Christ, and it was taken away from him and cast into the fire. And the Lord Jesus was quite willing to accept that. And so when we think of the birds, as for us, it says, they plant not, they sow not, they gather not into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father takes care of them. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ, the bird, and what happened to him. I've told you about the sparrow alone on the housetop, and I've told you about the dove and the pigeon, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about the flowers? I specifically picked the flower of the almond tree because, whereas we take the words, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys, that's in the Song of Solomon, and of course, he is those beautiful flowers. But at the same time, a flower that is more important to us than the rose and the lily is the flower of the almond tree. Had I taken time, I could have read to you in Numbers how the authority of Moses and Aaron were challenged, and God said, I'm going to put an end to this. I want each representative of the 12 tribes to give me a dead stick, a rod. Give me 12 rods. And all of them, Reuben, Simeon, Gad, Asher, all of them brought a dead rod, a stick, and gave it to Moses. And so did Aaron. And Moses took those rods, those sticks, and put them in a secluded place. He said, now come back in the morning. And when they came back in the morning, Aaron's rod was made from an almond tree. And this dead stick had buds and flowers and almonds. This dead stick had come to life. Now, is it hard to see whom that represents? You say, well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ in resurrection. Of course it is. We have it illustrated in number 17, and we have it illustrated in the lampstand. It was one of the articles of furniture that stayed in the holy place. The Lord Jesus is pictured here as a tree of light. Think. You have in the book of Genesis the tree of life, and you have the tree of life in Revelation, but we have the tree of light in the book of Exodus, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no difference for this reason. It said the Lord Jesus brought life and immortality to light. It tells us that the Lord Jesus, when he came, he is the one that brought those two things to man. And it says in John chapter 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the Lord Jesus is both the tree of life and he is the tree of light. He illumines us and he gives us light. And God says, I'm going to have an article of furniture that is a tree, a flower tree, and that is my son. And what is more beautiful in the springtime when you see the trees bursting forth in flowers, and if you smell those flowers, they are beautiful. And what those that know about trees and flowers tell us this about the almond tree, that it is the first tree that blossoms before all the other trees do. I've noticed that in the springtime. I go and I see some trees that have begun to blossom and have flowers, and I've seen other trees and they look dead. But the Lord Jesus is the almond tree. He is the almond flower, and he is the first fruits among them that slept. And so sad in one sense that the Lord Jesus would have to die. But thank God, though he had to die, when we think of him as the almond flower and tree, he's the one who died and he's the first fruits of them that slept. The Lord Jesus is that flower, and the flower for him had to die, but be raised from the dead. And so we have the flower, and we have the bird, but it mentions this. It mentions the hairs of the head. And when we think of the hairs of our head, God says, not one of them shall fall without your Father. And an exciting portion of God's word is in Acts chapter 27, when a storm has been raging for days, and yet Paul assures all the people on that boat. He says, you're going to get safely to land, and not a hair of your head shall perish. Now that's remarkable. I'm hoping to get out by the skin of my teeth. And Paul said, not a hair of your head would perish. And so we think of us, and we think of security and safety. But in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what he says in a messianic psalm. He says, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Think of the hairs on your head, and God is looking at you, and he's going to preserve you and care for you. And the Lord Jesus thinks of the hairs on his head, and he says, as I think of them, I have more enemies than the hairs on my head. And so that's the difference when you think of birds and flowers and part of your body. You think of it, and God says, comfort, assurance, strength, support. And when the Lord Jesus thought about those things, he thought of sadness and loneliness and rejection and death. And yet the Lord Jesus was quite willing to have us to think of them in two different ways. And so when the Lord says, consider the lilies of the field, behold the birds of the air, we think of them first as a blessing in our case, and we think of them as the curse when Christ would think of them. So consider the birds, the flowers, the hairs of the head. That's enough. Let us pray. Now, Father, indeed we are sad when we think of these things in relation to your Son. And yet when we look at your creation, we can enjoy it from a physical standpoint by just looking at it, because it's beautiful. What birds are not beautiful, our God? What flowers are not beautiful? And we remember that the hair of the head, we remember how beautiful Absalom's hair was. And yet, we think of the hairs of our head, And you, our God, an omniscient God, know every hair, and not one of them shall fall without your consent. And so we thank you that we can think of your creation in a twofold way. In relation to us, thank you, Father, for your care and support, the strength you give us. And we think of your creation in the light of your Son, and how sad we are, our God, how nature was so different in the eyes of Christ as he considered it himself. And so we thank thee for this twofold consideration of your creation, for the curse it was Christ, and the blessing that was ours. Our Father, for all things that you teach us, receive our thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.